Okay. Tell me when.
Go ahead, you're good.
All right. In 3, 2, 1. What's going on, everybody? It's Masters of None. I'm Jay. With me is Mike.
Hello.
And Art.
Hello.
And joining us for part two of our new two back-to-back episodes, Straight No Chaser, we got Seggy and Walter. What's going on there, fellas?
What's going on?
What is that's, up?
That's Seggy, the sultry-sounding one, and that's Walter, the happy-sounding one.
Hey!
The little one talks like this, and the big one talks like this. Yeah.
You guys have all the makings of a Pixar movie.
Yay!
Right there. So if you missed it last week, you should probably go back, listen to that episode first. This is called New Two, where we had the boys join us, and we each came with two things that we thought the rest of the group could go and try, because we think it's great. Could have been anything from food to a drink to a movie, music, all that kind of stuff. So basically, we'll be going over all of our picks. I'm hoping we all got to experience as many of those things as we could. Did we all? Did we all do our homework?
I did pretty well.
I did pretty well, except for two, unfortunately.
Yeah, I only missed one.
Nailed them all.
Oh, look at that. Heavy hitters.
God damn. All right. So I guess we'll go around the horn. Maybe we'll start the way we did the first time, and we'll start off with Walt's picks. Walt, your first one. By the way, your real name is Walter Chase?
That is, yeah.
Wow. What a coincidence, because Art's last name is Uvnan, Arthur Uvnan. And you're in Straight No Chaser. Weird. Anyway,
yeah, we get it.
Walt, your first pick was CrossFit. Just give us a quick recap on why you chose it. Is it something you've done, right? You thought it would be good for us, or you thought we'd just be too much pussies to try it, or what was your thought process?
Okay, so I've had the full week now to, you know, I listened to the podcast that, you know, when it aired back and all the stuff. Going first and being the guest, I think was it sucks because, like, I chose two things that, first of all, one of them was, we'll get to it, but the other one was, like, definitely the hardest thing I think of all of it to do. You know what I mean? Like, everybody chose, like, either awesome movies or, like, cereal, and I chose, like, this, you know, I don't know, like, I feel like as a guest I should have been, like, put up, like, fourth or fifth, but regardless, you know, let's just roll with it. So CrossFit is, you know, for, like, diehard, like, you know, hardcore, ridiculous, you know, people that just get bored just with either running or doing exercise or not doing exercise at all. And so it's something that I got into a couple of years ago, and it's a nice kind of shock system, muscle confusion type of thing. It's like a P90X, but with, you know, you usually take classes with people, or, you know, you can do the workouts that are listed online. So, okay, did anybody else of the five of us, did anyone else besides me do a CrossFit workout this week?
I did. Yeah, I did a mixture of some stuff. Like, I went on YouTube, I saw a couple of videos, and then I went
to, like, chicken around in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Wikipedia and I did some stuff that I had. I worked out from my house, and I did a bunch of, like, push-ups, sit-ups, and then, like, some kettlebell swings, and a bunch of stuff that I could do with free weights and all that, and it was definitely kicking my ass, man.
Nice. So did you enjoy it, though?
It was definitely different from, like, other stuff that I used to, like, that I do at home, like, whether if it's, like, a kickboxing thing or just lifting weights or something like that. This thing, my shirt was, like, sweaty for, like, 2 days, dude. So it kicked my butt, and, like, I think it was at Saturday I did it. And for 2 days, I was really sore. I probably was doing the things wrong, maybe, but overall.
Well, one of the things
I did try.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, one of the things they don't mention in the workout is after you're done, you can change your shirt. You don't have to wear the same sweaty shirt for 2 days.
I was going to say, after 24 hours, you probably could have swapped that out.
Yeah. The only thing about CrossFit that I think is kind of weird, like, if you go on to CrossFit.com, I don't know why I'm plugging them so much, but today's workout is called Daniel, and it's just named after different people who involved it, you know, or, like, evolved it, sorry. But so it's, like, weird. Like, you know, you say, so, Walt, what was the workout you did? I was like, oh, today I did Daniel. Yeah, it was really, really, it was really, really hard. I have not felt that much, like, I felt so much pressure, like, and it was
Lord.
Like, by the end of it, I was totally out of breath. But, like, you know, Daniel just totally kicked my – you know what I mean? It's just
I've never had so much Daniel in my life.
I was totally out of breath, and you know. So anyway,
Daniel waxed me on and off and on and off.
I don't know why they got it. I don't know. They could have just called it, you know, some kind of, you know, there's other exercises that, you know, that they call it like tailpipe, which is like, I guess would be simulating like sucking on a tailpipe of a car, like to be that out of breath or something like that. But, you know, again, it's like, it's just too sexual in nature. The names of these,
Walter, why do I get a feeling you're second guessing this pick right now?
I'm basically defending myself for the first 5 minutes of this podcast.
I think it's okay, man. Mike, did you do it?
I just did Sweat Into the Oldies 3, but I did it in fast forward.
Nice.
So I feel like I got like the same thing.
Where are your nuts hanging out of the bottom of your shorts the whole time? That's what I want to
know. No, I did do one. I did one of the Tony Horton ones. He does like the 10-minute trainers skater or some shit.
That's the guy who has a donut chain in Canada.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to six of them in like 10 minutes. It was great.
That counts.
Yeah.
What did the Tony Horton involve? Hearing a lot of who's.
A ton of tailpipe.
He's the guy that does P90X. So yeah. He has these like 10-minute trainers, right? That combine a lot of the stuff that's in CrossFit, right?
Yeah, it's all the same stuff, man. Yeah. It's
I actually wore cross trainers while I was just CrossFitting.
Nice. Bo Jackson's.
You can't you can't cross the cross streams like that. CrossFit's
cross streams.
Yeah, that's it.
Seggy, did you do it?
Yeah, it's actually we have a fitness person for Straight No Chaser, and part of our daily workouts involves a lot of CrossFit, you know, jump squats, burpees, kettlebell swings, all that kind of stuff. So I'm constantly doing that stuff on a daily basis.
You guys have a trainer?
Yeah, we have like a nutritionist and a trainer just to kind of help out, you know, give us workouts we can do on the road when gyms aren't so accessible. Hotel gyms aren't exactly, you know, good. So it's good to have stuff you can do without using like a full gym.
I just found a new reason to hate you guys.
Actually, I'm impressed.
Holy
I like
shit!
That, man.
You got a fucking trainer, awesome. Nutritionist? No, I'm joking. That's of course. That's awesome. Shit.
Yeah, and if you look at our pictures online, you'll definitely notice that we've done very well with this. Like our trainer has done an awesome job. Like, you know, we're all just six pack abs and just
Trainer's named Daniel.
Yeah, I did Daniel today. And then I went and worked out with him afterwards. It was great.
I think it just everything we drink in a 24-hour period, we just burn that off. So we just kind of stay even throughout a tour, you know, just kind of, you know,
even fit.
We're netting zero on the workouts, which is fine. Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Speaking of drinking, I'm enjoying a Blue Point toasted lager right now. How about you guys?
Oh, I got a Hoptical Illusion right here.
Mm-mm-mm. Me too.
I've been drinking Woodford for since I started watching The Room about 2 hours ago. We'll get there. But, yeah.
Nice. All right. So yeah, I did. Me and my wife did. I couldn't get to a gym, but I found a bunch of different CrossFit that WODs they call them. So again with the gay references, I looked up CrossFit WODs. They call them WODs.
Wobbly.
Workout of the day.
Yeah.
CrossFit lingo, you guys. So I picked the easiest one, and we did. I guess it's all about doing things for time. So just like doing them as fast as you can. Is that part of it?
Some of it. I mean, it's they want you to have time exercises so that by the next time you do it, you're doing it faster, and you know whatever. Some of the workouts only last about 5 minutes, and it's like doing, you know, like heavy weights or something like that. Anyway, I stopped doing it a while ago, but there's a lot of rest days involved, and like it's for some people. And like seriously, there's a gym that's down the street from me, and I wanted to like go there and take a class because I, you know, brought this up as the first thing and just, you know, this the worst suggestion for this entire podcast. But they wouldn't let me go take a class unless I went to a seminar on a Sunday at like 2:15, which, you know, 2:15 on Sunday, like I've got nothing better to do than just go to a gym and get taught how to lift weights. So I couldn't go to a class.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't pay them $100 or whatever they wanted to go to a class. I had to go to a seminar first at like, you know, the most random time on a weekend. Anyway, so enough about CrossFit. Enough about CrossFit.
Yeah, well, we did four sets of 10 air squats, 10 sit-ups, and 10 push-ups. And that was the easiest one I could do. I just about collapsed at the end of the 40th push-up, but we both air squatted till I blew my waddy burpee. She burped my wad. There were so many air squats.
So you and your wife did Daniel at the same time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coming up.
CrossFit threesome. All right. Walter, your other pick was listening to the Chase podcast, preferably one with you and Seggy. Anybody do this?
That's adorable. Yeah,
I listened to the Oscar one. Very cool. Seggy, man, you got a new respect for your movie picks and all that. You definitely broke it down. I was definitely enjoying it. And it was cool because you were like, these are the people going to win. And then this is the people why they should win. And I like the fact that you were breaking down like movies should be kind of broken down even more. And you're talking about like Robert Downey Jr. should like, you know, be receive an award for the stuff that he did. Cause I thought like everything that he did for Tony Stark was awesome too. So I agree with you, man.
Cool.
Mike, your thoughts?
Art stole my fucking thunder. Damn it. I listened to the same show actually because I wanted to see I wanted to see what your picks were, and yes, very nice, sir. Very nice, I must say.
Yeah, good picks, man. I read Entertainment Weekly too. it was pretty good, man. A couple of decent jokes in there. One thing, just to give off a little constructive criticism, and I know our sound quality isn't always perfect, but you gotta. Were you on a phone, Seggy? You're on a phone, a regular phone, or were you on Skype?
I was on a regular phone. We didn't really have a good system in place. Like when Walt records.
Forget about the nutritionist. Get a podcast specialist.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. How about
you can like, hire us if you guys got expensive.
Yeah, because like Walt comes in super clear. He, you know, it's studio quality, and then whoever the guests are kind of sound just like whatever calling in.
Yeah, I know Walt was asking for some tips on how to improve that. So, but yeah, after a while, every time you would talk, I would just hear like the hiss in the phone. It was like it would throw me off a bit. But yeah, you guys take care of that. It comes with time. But yeah, it's just rough to listen to like a full hour of someone, one person being on the phone and the other person not. That's all. But other than that, it was good. This is the one time I'm not going to make fun of you guys.
But you did.
No, I didn't.
I can't wait to hear the irony in Jay giving him this criticism as he sounds like shit on our own podcast.
You're the sound engineer, Mike. That's your job.
I'm trying. You know what they say, garbage in, garbage out.
Polish and mature.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to Mike's picks. Mike's first one was a documentary called How to Make Money Selling Drugs, produced by Adrian Grenier. A documentary about basically it was kind of cool. You want to describe it real quick again, Mike? Just a little catch everyone up. We didn't hear the first episode, perhaps.
Yeah, it's just a quick documentary about the drug industry and how corrupt it is and how crazy it is, from the little dealer all the way to the cartels and the kingpins. So it was pretty neat, and they kind of did it in like a video game kind of scenario to kind of show you like the different levels. Yeah, so
yeah, I watched it. I enjoyed it. It did get a little repetitive. I thought it could have been a bit shorter.
Yeah,
but I did like how it was actually presented as a how-to guide. They were literally telling you like how to get into selling drugs.
Yeah,
and the part I left was, wait a minute, I could grow a pot plant in my like closet in 45 days and have a 6-foot plant that will yield me a pound of weed.
Yeah, that was.
I was like, what? I was on the internet immediately. Like, where can I get the seeds? But that was a eye opening, man. But it was good. It went a little bit long. It did get a little repetitive, but overall, it was a good watch. Art.
I did. This was one of the things I did not cross off the list. Unfortunately, I want to see it.
Thanks, Art.
Hello.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Was that a burpee? What was that? Yeah. All right. So Art missed it. Seggy?
I saw it. I loved it. I thought it was really well done. It was well produced. It was really interesting to see like the guy who just grew up in the streets, and then he was pulling in upwards of $1 million cash a day.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it was crazy to see how like he was able to snitch on local cops and then get a reduction in his sentence. You know, it got a little bit preachy at the end about, you know, with Susan Sarandon and Woody Harrelson pretty much being like, you know, nonviolent crimes are doing way too much time in jail, whatever. While they have a point, it was just getting a little too preachy. And like the one dude like started to tear up a little bit. And it's like, dude, you sold drugs for like 20 years. Like, I don't, you getting all sentimental right now, I don't think it holds any value with the viewer. But it was definitely really good. I didn't know what to expect going in, but, you know, they had some marquee names, some solid interviews, and it was, you know, high energy the whole time. So it didn't seem long to me. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that was a good point, Segman. It did go off like its target thing. Like, it was a fun, like, literally had to sell drugs in like a tongue-in-cheek way. And then, that's probably a better description of what happened at the end. It didn't get repetitive. It did, like, kind of veer off course a little bit.
Right, yeah. How documentaries do this thing where they want to kind of show you the problem, and then they want to show you how you can help is always the big thing that they do at the end. Well, yeah, they kind of took that into kind of a little bit of a wrong turn. I agree. And it got to be a little preachy.
First of all, the director and the writer, Matthew Cook, I think is the kind of mastermind behind this. I was going into it thinking about like Adrian Grenier, is that his name, the guy from Entourage. And I've seen a short film he's produced. I actually, through my wife, have met him before, Beep, and he's kind of a douchey dude. So I was not excited to see this movie, but and also if you watch Entourage, and I've said this to Seggy before, it's like, you know, the thing about Entourage is that the entire, this is a total tangent, but the whole concept of Entourage is built off the fact that this guy that you're watching is worth millions of dollars, that has an entourage following around. And in the actual show, he's the worst actor. He's worse than Turtle. He's worse than Dylan's brother. Like, he's just that's just my personal opinion. But anyway, so going into this, I kind of had low expectations, but man, I thought it was unbelievable. And first of all, anything with David Simon, I'm a huge The Wire fan. So anything with David Simon, and he, you know, him being on there, and the Eminem interview that he did about, you know, they talk about, you know, weed and coke for most of the movie, but then they break into like the actual drugs that the government allows, which are, you know, the drugs that you watch commercials for, you know, while watching football games or whatever, you know, these random commercials that, you know, he went into cardiac arrest and almost died from prescription drugs that he was allowed to take. So it was like, it was again, like, just the way they set it up with kind of like the video game theme, and then just also showing these huge success stories that obviously at moments you're just like, it felt like they were glamorizing it too much, and then they brought you right back down to reality. So I don't know, I thought it was awesome. I'm going to watch it again at some point. I was cramming.
Me too.
I was kind of cramming it at one point today. I was just like, I've got to get all these things done. So I missed kind of like the last 15 minutes, but an awesome choice for the list.
Nice.
Thank
you. Well done there, Mike.
Thanks.
And Mike's second pick was a band that he recommended we watch some YouTube videos, Nikki Bloom and the Gramblers. They had a bunch of YouTube videos of them doing like cover songs while they're driving in their van, and then also their self-titled album. Why don't we start with Seggy on this one?
I didn't know what to expect with this. I thought it was going to be, I have no idea what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like super hipster, indie, and it was a little bit, but I really liked it. This chick, Nikki Bloom, has a really cool voice. You know, I ended up watching a bunch of their videos. I think my favorite one of theirs was Easy, the Lionel Richie and Commodores cover that they do. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool concept to just kind of throw these tunes together in the car as they're, you know, driving from gig to gig. I really enjoyed it.
Sweet.
Art?
Yeah, I liked the Hall & Oates cover, which Mike, you said to check out for. And then I liked the Here Comes the Sun. And then it was cool to see them on Conan too. Check out the YouTube channel and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was good.
I was definitely digging this thing. Band on the Run. I appreciate you getting us in the forefront of these people, because I thought they put on a good show.
Yeah, dude. Sweet.
Yeah, I listened to a bunch of the album too, which I didn't like nearly as much as I loved all the freaking covers. Like, I'm a sucker for covers, and then I'm a sucker for acoustic covers, and then I'm a sucker for like adding in like instruments that don't belong and you know, any kind of little weird twist to them. My favorite, and this was my favorite thing out of everything that we all kicked in, was the "Let's Hear It for the Boy" cover, the Denise Williams song.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Oh my God, it was so great.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, I couldn't stop watching all the cover ones, and my wife was digging them too. But how long have they been doing that? Because watching the Conan clip, like, you're watching them in the van and it looks like they're all like 20 years old, and then you watch them on Conan and it's like they're 40 years old. It's like, whoa, what the hell just happened? Like, how long have they been doing this?
I don't know. I first found out about them only
Burbank,
like,
ages you
2 years ago. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, their original music, I can appreciate it, and that definitely her voice kept me listening to it, but that, like, you know, semi-country bluesy isn't my jam for the most part. But yeah, I love the freaking covers, man. That A-plus pick.
Sweet.
Yeah, I like to see the different vans and the different vehicles they were in.
Yeah, you see them upgrade to like an RV from the van. Yeah. Walter?
Yeah, can I say one thing? So the three guys that are backing her up are awesome. First of all, they all can sing. Yeah, the different instrumentations that they were doing are crazy, like just crazy good, like to make the textures and stuff, like to go between those different styles of songs. That's to be music geeky. Okay, now this is another side of me that, you know, some of the videos she's driving while singing and also controlling where the camera is, and that there's something about, I know she's on an open highway and she's probably out in the middle of Montana and there's no one within a 1,000-mile radius of her, but anytime anyone is controlling the phone and singing while it really bugs me. Like, Seggy used to text me all the time, like while he was driving, and it's like, dude, stop texting me while you're driving. Like,
PSA, folks. PSA.
Yeah.
I mean,
the more you know.
No, it's like, it's one of those things that, like, you know, it's you're probably
speaking
safer.
Of documentaries getting too preachy.
Yeah. you're probably safer on an airline unless you're out of Malaysia, like to be texting on your phone while you're driving, but like, there's just some, I just get really, I don't like people operating their phone. But besides all that, like, yeah, like with her albums, you know, they lose a lot of, you know, it's, we get the same kind of comments from our shows, is that our live performances have a lot more of the presence than they do with our albums, because when you get into the studio, like there's auto tuning and it's less organic, you know, with, you know, those live performances in the car where they're just jamming out and they, you know, they probably had a show the night before, or, you know, or they're going to a show and, you know, they just happen to, while they're doing it, just break down a song really well. It's really cool. I mean, like, I don't know why more bands don't do stuff like that.
Probably because Jimmy Fallon does it every night.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know if they were doing it first or what, but also Walter on the Malaysian Airlines joke, too early. Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the plane at all?
We just,
too early, man.
To the plane.
Too early to be making jokes. We don't know yet.
We just heard about
jokes. Nikki Bloom and the Gramblers might be recording a video right now. It's just one long plan that we don't know about.
Yeah.
So let's just wait till the video comes out.
Are you saying they're responsible for what happened?
No, I'm saying they might be like currently recording a video on the plane somewhere.
You never know.
Jesus.
It's like the end of Contact. You know, she got nothing. Yeah, but she got 7 hours of nothing. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. We got this.
Nice reference.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Let's go to Art's picks. Art said we should check out a cereal, of course, Chocolate Toast Crunch, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, only chocolate. Mike, did you try this?
No, because my blood sugar.
Boo! Oh, man, how could you boo?
No, I couldn't get myself to get this, honestly. I couldn't even get to the store. So sorry, Art.
Couldn't get to the store.
No, I couldn't get to the fucking store.
It was a monsoon. Rain cats and dogs.
Walter?
No, I tried three different stores and couldn't find it.
Really? Jesus Christ. I thought this was the easiest one. Seggy?
So I went to Ralph's, a local grocery store here today, and walked down the aisle. walked past, you know, Total, walked past, you know, Corn Flakes, Cheerios. And I got into the kitty cereal section.
Put on a radiation suit, and he walked into the kitty cereal aisle.
Kind of felt a little creepy. Had like Wilford Brimley sitting on my shoulder telling me, "Don't do it, man. You're gonna get diabetes." But I think it's poor man's Cocoa Krispies. I don't think it's as good.
Yeah, I'd say like a shittier B version of Cocoa Pebbles.
Cocoa Pebbles. I don't know which one I'm thinking of, but yeah, this one wasn't like the milk wasn't good after the cereal was gone. So yeah, Art, you owe me like $4, bro.
Get it from your nutritionist.
Call it our tax write-off.
Fire tonight. Art on fire.
I mean, I will.
It's amazing what CrossFit will do to my commitment.
I will finish the box. Like that's just wasteful.
I had it too. I did have the cover of my daughter with me in the store. Found it no problem, but I was also tempted. Right next to it was Peanut Butter Toast Crunch.
Oh Lord!
And I was like, oh,
put
I
those
want
together.
That.
You put them together.
Yeah, it could be awesome.
Could be awesome.
I'm a huge fan of Cinnamon Toast Crunch as it is. We already had that in the house. But yeah, man, this kind of fell flat for me, Art.
And, I'm glad everybody was happy with it. Cool.
Definitely not as good as Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I imagine not as good as the peanut butter either. But I'm going to go for that next time, so maybe you'll redeem yourself.
Probably not.
All right. Art's other pick was a music pick, the band Tahiti 80, and the album is called, what was it, Fosbury?
Fosbury Crunch.
Fosbury Crunch, which was also better than Chocolate Toast Crunch. this is an album from 1999. And who listened to this one? How about you, Seggy?
I didn't listen to the whole album. I listened to a couple tracks. It was okay. It was like Prince meets Phoenix meets Maroon 5. It was just like a lot of different like electric sounds and funk, a lot of falsetto from the dude. It was okay. I probably wouldn't listen anymore.
I'd like to thank Art for putting it in really non-accommodating M4A files so I could only listen to it on my desktop computer.
You're welcome.
It's the only way to listen to it, Jay.
Yep.
It's the best way to listen.
Oh, it's the vinyl of the internet.
Yeah.
It is from 1999.
Yeah.
It's the vinyl of the internet.
It is.
Pre-MP3. I was through it. It was all right. It was kind of like Jamiroquai raping the Bee Gees, I thought. All at once, though, not one at a time. Like right through Andy, out the front, and then into Barry. Like, boom. But yeah, it was all right. It's decent. How about you, Walter?
I mean, you can either get music critical on it, or I'm more interested in why you chose the band specifically. Is there a romantic connotation behind it? Can't speak right now. Is it like what is it about the band specifically?
I don't know. I heard them. I don't know where the hell I heard them, but I first heard them. I'm like, oh, these guys are pretty cool. So I just started listening to them, and it was like I was happy with Jay's response from the last podcast. Like, oh, Art going outside the box, as opposed to his comments. Like, yeah, they're all right for this one. But it was just something different. I didn't know if you guys ever saw, like, listen to them or anything like that. So just kind of threw it out there instead of just doing rap or something different, or like trying to tell you to buy a pair of Air Jordans on a Saturday. So just went with them.
Do you know any of the guys in the band or anything like that? No, I'm not being a jerk. No, it reminds me of a college band that I used to listen to, like that were at Indiana with us. Like it kind of had that same vibe, and I don't know, like hanging out with that band and kind of those times, like that was what it kind of reminded me of. So I wasn't sure if that it was the same sort of thing, or you know, I don't know.
It was about like 1983. A young Joe Piscopo was doing a comedic set, and I heard. No, it was a band that I didn't think you guys listened to, so I just wanted you guys to check it out.
Who's on trial here? Tahiti Eddie or Art Eddie?
Art, I listened to it through and through, sir. I gave you mad props for throwing something out there that I did not expect you would be listening to.
Oh, I love you, Mike.
You're welcome. I do, actually, though, because I did not expect this to come out of you. I was like, all right, what the fuck is this? Is this like a is this like a Jermaine Dupri cover band or something? Like, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure exactly what to get.
You gotta explain the Jermaine Dupri thing, because that was after listening back to the podcast. Like, do you have a weird obsession with like old school like Atlanta like
nailed it
like Nick?
Yeah, you can stop there. You can stop there. Stop. You've struck oil. You got it.
I'm just very like random with my different references, and I always put Jermaine Dupri in there.
Yeah,
and then like, who was going like to Atlantic City? It was like Jermaine Dupri was going to be like performing there.
Yeah, Jermaine Dupri
and,
performing there.
Biting his tongue right now.
The black of the '90s, the better for art.
Yeah. yeah, dude. Mad props. I know you'd mentioned these guys before, and I did check out a couple of tracks the last time, but this time I listened to it all through and through.
Thanks, man.
Right.
Appreciate that.
All right. So let's go to my picks. My first pick was the Evil Dead, the musical soundtrack. What did you guys think of this? Let's go to Art.
Art
saw the show with me. That's right.
Yeah. So I that was my moment. I was sharing a moment with you and Daniel sitting across from each other. And it'll always be in there ingrained in my mind as a special moment.
Did you listen back to it?
Yeah.
Or no? Yeah.
Again, like, I think because we were there, I liked it the first time that I heard it because
it's the whole visuals, yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious. Like, you know, I think what Sega, you and Walter, like, yep, we're not we're like, you know, two of these two of the three tracks we can't even you know, do obviously or cover. So I definitely thought it was I was a big fan of it back then, and it still is. So I give you an A+, Jay.
Oh, thanks, man. Mike, as a musical theater actor. And performer?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, Jay, you forget that I hate musical theater. I listened to it. I think what you said holds true, though. I think without the visuals, it's just maybe lacking something for me. But it was funny. It was funny. But I think without seeing the show, it kind of doesn't, you don't get all of the jokes as well. I think the same holds true with really any funny musical like that. If you just hear the songs, it's kind of like, ah, yeah, that's funny. That's supposed to be funny. But I you know, I get it and I understand why it's funny. But without the actual show, you know.
Yeah, I wish it'd come out. I hear it's actually playing in Vegas now. It's got like a residency, I think, at like the Hard Rock or something.
Right.
So, I don't know, something to maybe hit next time you're in Vegas. Walter?
Yeah, so it's the same thing with Tahiti 80. I didn't get it, but here's the thing. Like I want to understand. So it's where did you guys see it? Was it on Broadway when you saw it?
It was off
Broadway.
Like off Broadway, like Morristown, New Jersey, or off Broadway, like 34th Street.
Yeah, like 34th and 10th, something like that. Are you familiar with Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness, the movies?
Well, I'm familiar with this. Like, yeah, that's my ringtone. But like, no, I haven't seen any. You know, I'm curious to see this live now after listening to it because it was just, you know, just listening to it totally out of context. It was just like a random choice. But I would watch this musical if it's in Vegas. Seggy's probably driving to Vegas right now, so I will meet up with him at some point and we'll watch this.
Yeah, it's great. Basically, the whole thing takes place like in the cabin, you know, and then there's all kinds of blood flying out of things and lots of gore and ridiculousness. It's a good time, and there's a splatter zone. Like the first three rows, they give you plastic because blood flies into the audience a lot.
Yeah, I tried to research. There's a lot. It's kind of got a cult fault. How long ago did you guys watch this? Was it pretty recently?
No, this was a long time ago. It's been like touring around forever. It's like probably we saw it, like, God, almost fucking 10 years ago, Art.
Yeah.
At this point.
You held my hand, bought me a popcorn. Yeah.
I gave you my class ring.
Yes.
My varsity jacket. We both shared a soda pop with the Saint Tooth Frost.
You got scared before the show ended, so you went out and Tom and Martha Wayne got shot right next to you. You swore to avenge their
deaths. That's when we saw Zorro, dude.
Oh, my fault.
I love how Walter's all about backstory. I love it.
Walter is pummeling you with backhanded compliments. It's amazing. I've never seen anyone die from a backhanded compliment.
It's just randomness. Like, I get eating a cereal. Like, yeah, like, you have the cereal.
You have the greatest personality ever. That's awesome.
I know. You're right. Exactly.
That's fucking great. No. I didn't mean to call you a fucking tired schlub. No, really. What happened was, you have to understand something. My father comes from a long line of schlubs, and how this works is, it's fucking great. I love it. It's the greatest thing ever.
All right. And Seggy, your reaction to Evil Dead, the musical soundtrack?
I got to see this musical now.
Yeah, you do.
I only listened to a couple of them, and I kind of equate it to I made the mistake of listening to the Avenue Q soundtrack before seeing the show. And it was just like when you guys said, like, you get the jokes and they're kind of funny, but then when you see like a puppet delivering a joke to another puppet, it just, like, you know, it makes it a little more funny. But yeah, I could definitely see how this is interesting. These kind of movies that are just completely horrible, like these bad horror movies, I kind of love them, and I did see the movies, so I would definitely be interested in seeing this musical. I think it'd be hysterical.
Yeah, man. Next time you guys are in Vegas, you should definitely check it out. It's a fucking blast. All right, cool.
Do they bottle service at the musical?
Yes.
They did. They did serve drinks. Yeah, at the where we saw it. Yeah, they had a bar and everything, so you, yeah, you can't there. Drink during it.
Seggy, I drink bottle service. Seggy, hey, Detroit Tigers, Seggy.
All of my vocabulary.
That was great. Team Walt, everybody. Team Walt, I'm on board. 100%.
Yeah, Tyler who?
Yeah. The fucking greatest.
All right, yeah. And let's go now to my other pick, which was the fabulously awesome and awful movie called The Room. Oof. One of the worst movies ever made.
Just go to Seggy. You don't even need anybody else's opinion, but Seggy's on this one.
Let's go.
Seggy texted me. He live texted me. Okay. You know, like, you live tweet something?
Yeah.
No, he was just live texting me to my phone every fucking minute of this movie. I'm like,
Seggy,
looking
what's
up
the
on
backstory on you
how do I block
you?
Somebody?
Hey guys, I want to thank you for watching my movie. It was a great time making this movie, but I had a great time with Lisa. She was great in the movie. So pretty much I just nailed that character. Like,
he did. That was pretty good. That was like,
hi, Seggy.
<That's great. laughs>
What are you doing here?
That sounded like a stoned Borat. That was that's perfect.
That's what basically.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Americans like football.
I understand that, like, bad movies exist and bad movies are made. But, like, shooting the first scene, there wasn't anyone on set that was just like, hold on. We can't do this. This is going to ruin all of our careers, and all of our families will be banished from ever touching a camera, watching any movie. It was seriously the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I've seen some pretty awful things. I don't even know what to say. And the ending was, oh my God, the dude is laying dead on the ground and he's still breathing.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
He's still breathing, and like, they don't like pan away from the body that's still breathing after he shot himself in the head. It was the worst movie, and I definitely caught what you guys were saying, how they just reused the same footage for the sex scene. I was hoping they would use the same footage from the main guy again when she was having sex with the other guy. I think that would have solidified it as the greatest movie of all time. But they didn't go that extra mile, so I'm going to have to give it a thumbs down.
But admit it, you went from hating it to loving it by the end.
I didn't understand why you would make someone sit through that. And then, I mean, I literally thought it was just going to be a porn. Like, the first 5 minutes is exactly a porn, like, yeah, a bad 80s porn. And I thought it was going to be like that the entire movie. And I was like, come on, man. Like, I don't have time to sit. I do have plenty of time to sit and watch this, but I'd much rather just be staring at my blank screen. But as it got on, you get so sucked into the characters. I mean, just the character development and, oh, the mother character was so good. I don't understand how she wasn't nominated for at least a BAFTA or a Golden Globe. Like, it boggles my mind. Yeah. You know, she would come over for a visit with her daughter, and it was just walk in the door, sit on the couch, stand up, walk out. Literally that much time.
No, she would come in, sit on the couch, talk about something that you don't know anything about, say she has breast cancer, then leave, never for it to come up again in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think they spent more money on B-roll of San Francisco than they did on any other aspect of the movie.
Holy shit.
Used Full House role for that? Yeah.
Just the theme to Full House. You see John Stamos in the back.
That dude is like the F version of Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good one.
So Mike and Art, did you guys both watch?
Yeah, try to. I mean, I was watching the whole thing, and like was that chick like related to Britney Spears?
She does look like her fat cousin, doesn't she?
Yeah. Fat Spears.
Her and her fat boobs. She didn't have boobs. She just had like fat around her breast area.
She's a flatso.
Yeah, totally. So Mike, what were your thoughts?
I've seen parts of this movie before. Again, it was hard to get through it the first time. So it was equally as hard to do it this time. I had a little help in liquid form, which was good. Nice. That's always helpful. And yeah, it is a fucking crock of shit. It's hilarious because you think, wait, what did I just take? And then you're like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm actually completely sober right now. This is the fucking movie. This is how this is gonna happen.
Yeah, that there needs to be a drinking game. I'm sure there is one for that movie.
Oh, but yeah. Like, there's all kinds of shit.
Every time they toss around a football, every time he like does that weird laugh thing.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shit like that. If you find that... there's all kinds of shit like that. If you find it online. Like, they have, you know, they have like almost like... They have like the Rocky Horror type shows with the room.
Yeah,
and they
like
have
bring stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, throw it at the screen and shit.
Yeah.
He actually does screenings of the movie, and he'll bring a football and like toss it around like outside and in the aisles with people. Like, it's so weird. There's just so many questions that you have, and like just different things that come up, and you're like, "What? What is that? Like, what does it have to do with anything?" Just things that go nowhere. I love it, love it. And Walter, did you watch?
Yeah, I watched it with Mrs. Chase, and so this is the backstory. First of all, I love it. I've been starting. I'm saying I do like the first of all, then I backhand compliment it, and then I go. I'm going to start out with the ultimate compliment, but. This DVD has been sitting in my apartment for a month now because my wife's has a friend, and he said, listen, you guys have to watch this movie, or like whatever. And then there was a screening, like a Rocky Horror screening that was in Brooklyn. He was like, let's all go out. And my wife is like 9.5 months pregnant this month, so we don't leave the house after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But it was just like, you know, so we didn't go do it. So, but she sat with me and watched it, and I liked it 100 times more than she did. She just totally did not get. I like every random. There's so much sound editing. I would say about, and this is not an exaggeration. There's 80% of the movie is sound edited post, which is like all lip sunk, and it's just because they obviously shot it. You said it. It's like a rabbit hole because. The entire movie, all I was doing was going through IMDb, the Wikipedia pages, reading like fan posts,
trivia.
And it talks about all of these celebrities: Alec Baldwin, Paul Rudd, David Cross, Will Arnett, Jonah Hill, Kristen Biel, like all these people that are like totally into the movie. So I'm going to do a Chase podcast just on The Room, I'm telling you, like, I will probably never, ever, ever. ever watch this movie again, but it was I loved watching it, and it was so terrible. You're the best scene, the best line in the entire movie. I don't know exactly what it was, but the mother is sitting there with Lisa, and she tells her that she has breast cancer, and you said it, they never bring it up again in the entire movie. Just breast cancer. And like I also saw that almost the entire movie was shot on a green screen, and it would have been just so much cheaper to shoot it on the rooftop of some random building in San Francisco than to have a green screen. it was amazing. It was seriously, I'm never ever watching this again, and I would recommend no one to ever watch this again, but I'm going to go watch There's also another. If you watch in the room, there are framed pictures of spoons, So when I saw that when you go to one of these live experiences, people have plastic cutlery and they throw it at the screen every time you see a picture of the spoon come up. All right, I'm done talking.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
you know your kids. Your kid's going to come out hating you for having to sit through this movie in the womb.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9.5 month pregnant women have no tolerance for shitty movies like that.
Did it induce labor?
To find the humor.
Did it induce labor?
We're hoping. Yeah. Nice. At this point, we just want this to start. Because
that's your fucking money shot to your podcast right there. By the way.
It's disgusting. Thank you, though. But thank you.
Well, if you want to take it that way.
I would highly recommend, Walter, you check out the episode of the podcast How Did This Get Made. It's episode where they just talk about The Room, and they have the guy who plays his best friend on the show, so he gives like all this behind the scenes stuff. It's amazing.
Cool. Yeah, I was looking at some archived episodes of Masters of None, I'm glad that you asked me which episode to watch of us, because you kind of go through the fodder. It's hard to find. So which one is that called again?
It's called How Did This Get Made?
How Did This Get Made? All right.
Yeah, it's with Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas from The League. It's a funny podcast. They just watch bad movies and just kind of rip them apart. But they have the guy on from the Room, so you get like all the behind the scenes shit. It's really good. All right. Our last entry was Seggy, and we'll start with his film that he told us all to watch, Bronson, starring Tom Hardy. You want to give us a little recap on this real quick?
Yeah, so basically this is a British film starring Tom Hardy. Like you said, the movie is based on England's most violent prisoner, and he just kind of goes through his life, you know, growing up, his family life, and then how he got into prison, and how, you know, he was in prison and why. So, I don't think it's as good as The Room, but it's up there.
Let's start with Art. Did you watch it?
No, I did not.
All right, Mike.
Ooh, I want to hear your.
Me?
Yeah, I want to hear your.
Okay, I watched it, and I had started watching it a while back because our sister podcast, Movies You Should See, did it like a long time ago, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I'm going to check that out. And I started watching it, and I could, as I said last episode, I was like, I don't remember if I fell asleep watching it or whatever happened or something turned me off to it. And I remember why I stopped watching it. Tom Hardy's dick all day long, just uncircumcised dick, just nonstop. No, that wasn't the lie.
He calls his dick Daniel, by the way.
He does.
Daniel Bronson. I guess I have a thing with repetitiveness, but it's a lot of the same thing, it seems like, over and over. Like, he's in jail, then he's out of jail, and he's beating people up, and then he's in jail beating people up, and then he's out of jail, and he's beating people up again, and then he's in jail beating people up, and it's just it just kind of got a little too repetitive for me. And then here's him again, and just with the black background, and here's him in front of the theater people. And, you know, yeah, he definitely showcased himself as an actor for sure. I mean, he knocked it out of the park. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like there was enough of a story going on. I mean, I get it. He was crazy. He liked to fuck people up. Yeah, the fucked up dude. But I don't know. Definitely didn't need to be naked all the time. That's for sure. It just kind of wore on me a little bit. I don't know. That's just my take. It was pretty good though. I mean, decent. I wouldn't watch it again.
I loved the fucking violence. I'm not ashamed to say I fucking loved that. Oh God, I wasn't expecting it either. I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, like that. Like, I know, Segi, you said last week that, you know, be prepared for that, right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Your help, man. Your help. I'm not going to coach you through your own review of the movie.
No, but yeah, I did. I love
Entertainment Weekly for that.
I love the I did. I love the violence of it. I loved Hardy's performance. I thought he was pretty good. It's funny. Like, you've seen him in I've seen him in a couple of movies that you wouldn't expect, kind of like this, and what was the MMA movie he did?
Warrior.
Yeah. Same same type of he gets that same type of character going, and he's just.
It should have been called Bane Unmasked.
Yeah, like a Bane that's a good one. Yeah, and I see what you're saying, Jay, about it being repetitive and everything, but I mean, I don't think it was really trying to be anything other than what it was. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was like trying to be. I didn't think it was trying to be too serious. I didn't think it was trying to be too, you know, too fucking in your face at all. Too action, too drama, too whatever. It was just kind of what it was. I thought it was just a really good movie.
Right on, Walter.
No, I'd seen it a while ago. Seggy suggested that I check it out. It was free on Netflix, so free is my favorite type of movie to watch. And yeah, I dug it. It's good. So,
Seggy, your rebuttals, if any?
No, not at all, man. Yeah. I mean, I like the movie. I base my opinion on the movie more so on his performance. Pretty much as a no-name actor at the time, and to just kind of, you know, come onto the scene with that movie and then, you know, back it up with Warrior and then Inception and obviously Batman. But yeah, I'm a big Tom Hardy fan. I like, if you've never seen Lawless, he's like that same kind of soft-spoken but super violent character again. Shia LaBeouf kind of ruins that movie a little bit, but... Tom Hardy's pretty sweet, and it's really cool. I like him a lot.
Is that his accent? What's that again, Walter?
No, I forgot Shia LaBeouf was in Lawless. Yeah.
Is that his actual accent, or is he putting on an accent for that movie?
I'm sure it was a bit exaggerated. He is from the UK, so I'm sure he has an English accent, but it was super exaggerated in the movie, I'm sure.
And do you prefer cut or uncut?
Nice.
No, the movie. I mean, there's an uncut, there's a director's cut, is what I'm talking about.
Yes, I prefer the director's cut.
We all do. It's slimmer and it's more pleasing to the eye.
Girls like it
better. Yeah, girls like it better.
All right. And Seggy's last pick was the Seggy Berry Fizz. What was it called? The Seggy Berry Fizz Punch?
Seggy Sipper.
The Seggy Sipper, yeah.
Untitled. Seggy Pour, the Seggy Pour Sling. This was the Seggy's drink that he created. It's Kettle One and a little splash of sparkling French berry lemonade, available only at Trader Joe's, which is an hour and change for me, so I could not get to a Trader Joe's to try this. Any of you gentlemen's?
Yeah, I did. It was a good drink, man. Thanks for enlightening us. I liked it.
Did you put an umbrella in it, Art?
Yes, because when the sun shines, we shine together.
What?
There's backstory to that. It'll be for another podcast.
Art firing on all cylinders. Love it.
Mike, did you get a chance to try it?
I tried it. It was a little. Didn't really like the berry part or whatever. My wife loved it though. She fucking loved it. I had a couple of sips and then I gave the rest to her.
That was a good Walt compliment you just gave right
yes.
there.
Yes. I learned
a
from.
Compliment.
I'm on the phone still. I didn't hang up yet.
It's a Waltlement.
I'm a guest. You made me go first last podcast. Now you're just Waltlementing me right now. Like, I don't appreciate any of this.
You're Waltlementing me.
You know, the best comment about all of this is that your wife liked it. I don't know who said it. I can't tell the difference between any of the three of you guys. But like that your
racist.
Wife liked it is. I don't see names or voices. No, it's a chick drink, and Seggy is kind of a chick, so I think it's a great drink for Seggy.
There you go, service. Perfect. That is, wow, that's great.
I would have drove to Trader Joe's to get it if it was called a sparkling Freedom Berry Lemonade.
Yeah, commie bastard.
America.
Timely joke, man. Timely.
Too early.
Yeah, the plane hasn't even landed yet.
It was a traitor joke. Boom.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. This is just a downward spiral right now.
Boom, yeah. Boom, pass me another sip, Seggy Sipper.
Podcast is turning into The Room.
This thing is spiraling down like Tom Hardy's foreskin.
You're tearing me apart!
It's the football run. Ha ha ha.
Guys, how could you do this to me? I love you.
You're tearing me apart, Seggy.
Don't be ridiculous.
You're going to be my future wife.
I want to be in IT, but it's so competitive.
The computer industry. Get it right, man.
We should do
a podcast where we just imitate that guy and recite lines the entire time.
Well, I think Walter's already planning that, so I'd be happy to be a part of that.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's enough podcast for today. It's very American, guys, but yeah, we should wrap it up.
We should.
Danny, stop watching. Just kidding, Danny. Come just jump in here with us. All right, that's it, man. So what will we give everybody? Give us your favorite thing that everybody else gave. Mine was definitely Mike's Nikki Bloom and the Grambles YouTube videos. Art, what was your favorite? I have everything.
I'll just go with that, and there's no backstory.
All right. Mike, what was your favorite?
Well, after this podcast, definitely the Chase podcast.
Oh.
From here out.
Whatever, dude.
Fucking hells, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. The sound quality sounds like somebody's peeing at the same time, I guess.
I just want to hear you talk forever. I don't want to.
Hey, man, I can give you my number. This doesn't have to be that deep, you know? The best suggestion, we didn't even talk about the Vice YouTube channel. Did that get crossed off?
Yeah.
That's sort of an unofficial pick, but you like that one? Did you check that out?
Like, I watched the... So first
Time's
of all,
up.
It was. God damn. All right, bye guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. ChasePodcast.com. ThechasePodcast.com. Damn it.
Give your Twitter handles out too.
Guys, I have breast cancer.
Art, yeah. Twitter, Seggy. What'd you say, Mike? Breast cancer. Seggy, what's your Twitter handle?
At SNC Seggy.
Walter?
It's at thechasepodcast.com or at SNC Walt. I have two different Twitter handles for how I'm feeling.
SNCmusic.com, right? Check out the tour dates.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. Dude, that was a lot of fun, fellas. We should. I enjoyed this. This could be like its own podcast where we just give shit to each other to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure listeners will love that.
It's homework.
People like to play along. Oh, didn't we say we were gonna do some Facebook comments and shit? Or that too late? Time's up, right?
Yeah, time's up.
See ya.
Time's up. All right. I'm Jay from Mike, Art, Seggy, and Walter saying, see ya.
Yep.
So weird.